This podcast is sponsored by Year to Success, the transformative course that combines education, inspiration, and action to help you achieve your personal and professional dreams. Start making small daily improvements for the most amazing year of your life at yeartosuccess.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. The Accredited Speaker Program recognizes some of the most exceptional professional speakers in Toastmasters. It's designed for sought-after presenters who combine expert knowledge in a particular subject with mastery of the spoken word. This Accredited Speaker Award, which requires applicants to pass two levels of judging, is the highest earned designation recognized by Toastmasters International. Since the program began in 1981, only 95 candidates have earned this prestigious honor. This year, two members, Lauren Parsons and Maureen Zappala, became the 94th and 95th candidates to earn the coveted title after giving a live presentation in front of a panel of judges this past August at the 2024 Toastmasters International Convention in Anaheim, California. Today, in this first of two episodes, you'll get to meet one of our newly minted accredited speakers. Our guest today is Lauren Parsons. She is a distinguished Toastmaster, having been a Toastmaster for just 10 years, but also a speaker and a well-being specialist for over 20 years. Lauren is also a certified speaking professional and New Zealand's current Keynote Speaker of the Year and Educator of the Year, as awarded by the Professional Speakers Association of New Zealand. Now, if that's not enough, Lauren is also a TEDx speaker, an author, and the host of the Thrive TV show and podcast. And as a business owner, a wife, and a mother of three, Lauren knows how full life can get. But most of all, Lauren is passionate about helping people thrive, helping leaders create thriving workplaces. Working full-time as a speaker, Lauren regularly travels to speak at conferences and in-house on topics such as well-being, resilience, and communication, helping leaders create thriving teams. Her practical solutions have helped thousands of busy people feel vibrant, confident, and energized. Coming to us today from Manawatu, New Zealand, Lauren Parsons, welcome back to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Hello, Greg, and hello, everyone. Nice to be here.
And Happy New Year. It's 2025.
It sure is. It's going to be a great year.
Now, Lauren, you're a repeat offender on the Toastmasters Podcast. We spoke last spring on episode 252, and I remember this very vividly because we talked about leading successful teams like a master gardener.
Yes.
I love the analogy of putting together trees and gardening with leadership. It's funny because we typically don't have a return guest back so soon, but of course, this is an incredibly celebratory time for you. So congratulations on earning your accredited speaker designation.
Thank you so much, Greg. Yeah, it was an absolute thrill and a joy. I loved being there. I loved meeting everyone, and it's wonderful being welcomed into the AS family.
Now, I wasn't able to be there in person in Anaheim, but I did watch your presentation virtually. It was called Resilience to Not Just Survive, but to Thrive. So to kick things off, I know your presentation and sharing your story was a very emotional time for you, but I'd love for a moment to just travel back to that day in August in Anaheim as you walked up to the stage, International President Roddy Speer pinned your lapel, and you received this highly coveted recognition. What was going through your mind at that time?
Oh, just such a joy. It was such an honor, especially being there on the Saturday for the World Championship of Public Speaking in front of 1,700 people to have my name called out. The wonderful thing about the process is after having taken part in the program, they let us know afterwards if we have passed or not passed. So I did have the assurance of knowing that I was going to be called up, but it was still just an absolute joy hearing your name, standing up. The Kiwis, the New Zealanders, gave me a New Zealand flag, so I got to head up there, seeing as I'm the first New Zealander to become an accredited speaker, and it was a joy getting to meet Roddy and have her actually pin the very coveted, beautiful square maroon AS pin onto my jacket and just, be celebrated. It was wonderful.
Now, going through the process that you did, what does it mean to you?
Well, the accredited speaker, it really is, as you said, it's just such an honor to be included in this. And I have to say, it's not an easy process. There's a lot of people that since then have said, oh, that sounds great. I want to become a professional speaker. I want to become an accredited speaker. And I absolutely salute you if you do. And I think, yes, go for it. I think the thing about this that distinguishes it so much from other aspects of what we do in our Toastmasters journey, like achieving DTM, is that it's not necessarily just a turnkey process that you complete certain steps and then you achieve it. It really is a huge challenge. As I learned, and many people will know, back in 2021, I had passed at level one and gone on to present at what was then just an online convention. And it was a huge challenge to present alone early in the morning from New Zealand in my little office and broadcasting studio, not hearing any feedback, any laughter, seeing anyone in the audience getting involved in what I wanted them to get up and do. Yeah, and so at that stage I didn't pass, which is not uncommon with the accredited speaker program. And at the time I wrote an article about it as I reflected on it over the weeks before we heard the news. And I realized that, you know, your results don't change who you are. You are not your results. At the time, the Olympics was on and Simone Biles had decided to withdraw from some of her events. And there was a lot of discussion in the media about that, and I really respected her for doing that. And it made me think about how from one day to the next, if she took part, if she didn't take part, if she won gold, if she didn't win gold, it didn't change the amazing athlete that she is. So I share that quite openly, because for me, you know, it was heartbreaking in lots of ways to not achieve it the first time I'd attempted it. Obviously, we don't like these stumbling blocks or these failures along the way. But I also realized that, hey, if I pass this, it'll be a gift and it will be amazing. And if I don't pass this, that will be a gift, perhaps an even better gift, because it will make me work harder, invest more in my professional development, become an even better speaker, and then hopefully go on to achieve it at a later date, which is literally is what I've done. And I really feel that myself and my whole speaking journey and the value that I deliver, the connection I have with the audience is even better just because I've worked at it even harder. So I'm very thankful to Toastmasters and to the opportunity of the accredited speaker program for that.
I appreciate you sharing that, because I think that for some, getting to the point where you were at in 2021, at that point, they might have just said, okay, you know what? I can't take this. I can't go any further. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I heard from a little birdie that it was Darren LaCroix that put a bug in your ear, and I understand it was somewhere here in Canada.
Yes.
About the accredited speaker program. So what was it that brought that on, and what motivated you personally to embark on the accredited speaker journey?
Well, it was really just a short conversation that we had. We met at the District 61 conference when I was living in Ottawa, Canada. I was a member of Ottawa Advanced Toastmasters. Went up to Montebello, loved the conference. It was the first district conference I'd ever attended. Loved lots of Darren's tips and ideas. And we were chatting afterwards, and I explained that I already was a professional speaker. And he said, well, you should go for the accredited speaker designation then. And being the ambitious and competitive person that I am, I thought, okay, well, let's just see if I don't do that then. And so that just put the idea in my mind, I guess. And then looking into it, I really did understand that obviously all of the requirements, it really is something that you need to be speaking professionally at a very high level before you can even apply. So I just kept working on what I was already doing and building that up and then applied. And so if anyone's listening and you're thinking of getting involved, the first thing I'd recommend is download the handbook, understand how it all works, and then absolutely go for it. Whether you achieve it or not, the journey of working on how you deliver, how you connect with hearts and minds, getting better in everything you do, getting mentoring and support, that is all great and ultimately will help you make a bigger impact in the world. And that's what it's all about for me.
So is that what you did for take two? And what kind of help did you get?
What I did this time is I understood that it wasn't just a case of going along and doing what I do every day as a speaker and getting great feedback. To pass the accredited speaker presentation, you need to be outstanding in every single category on the judge's ballot. It's quite a different format to all of the other contests that we use. Even if you deliver an excellent presentation and you get sevens and eights, you will not pass. You need to be in that outstanding category and getting nines and tens out of ten. So I worked with my amazing TEDx speaker coach, Terry Kingston, who I met at Ottawa Advanced Toastmasters, And I also had lovely support from several other accredited speakers. Cheryl Rausch is an amazing supporter of anyone aiming to achieve the accredited speaker program. Dale Ann Clark, who had achieved it the year before. Verity Price, who had achieved it the year before. Stephanie Angelou, who had achieved it the year before. I had online connections with them. They gave me feedback and insights and ideas. Kevin Snyder's been along the journey with me, Forrest Tuff. So just taken feedback from everyone, and obviously all of the accredited speaker program chairs as well, who were very good at just answering questions and making sure that I understood what you can and can't do. And the whole process was a joy. The team to work with on the day, it was just amazing.
Was there one big change that you made from 2021 that you said, I know I need to do this differently or better?
The biggest thing was just that it was in person. It was live in person. I got to walk onto that stage, stand there, beam a smile out to that audience, both virtual and in the room. And the audience really is amazing. That was one thing that those that took part the year before had mentioned to me, that they're such a warm, receptive audience. You just couldn't wish for a better audience. The room was packed. People were standing along the walls at the back. We almost created a fire hazard. They were turning people away. And so it was really just that opportunity to connect with the audience. I knew that I wanted to do things that were interactive. So I got everyone up out of their seats, that, you know, invited everyone that could stand to stand. And we did some activities. We had some laughter. We did a mindful moment where I got them to do a body scan. And I was very aware of how to link in with those that were in the room and also those online. I even gave a group of Toastmasters a chance to chat. One of my friends said to me afterwards, I loved how you brought us back. You gave us the 10-second countdown, and then you counted down in your fingers and verbally gave us the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He said, I would have awarded you the accredited speaker just for that. That was masterful, which I thought was hilarious. But that's really what I am known for as a speaker, is I believe that when people come together for conferences and staff events, that it's not just about hearing from me, it's about connecting with me and with others, about building moments of reflection and discussion and joy into that. So I'm very big on creating connection and movement and enjoyment and engagement and energy with and within the audience. So that was a joy.
This is a perfect transition into talking a little bit about your presentation, but I also want to mention that both your presentation and Maureen's presentation, they were really emotional. And I think it would have been a little bit more challenging to have that emotional connection with, I mean, I was connected, definitely, even though I was virtual, but having that live audience there and having that emotional connection, because I know both you and Maureen had a moment on the stage. So yeah, no, I agree. In person is best if you can do that. Your presentation, it had a very strong universal message. So it was something that could appeal to anyone, but it was also for you, I felt it was very personal. And in fact, it involved a life-threatening situation. Mm-hmm. If you could, please tell us a little bit about that presentation.
It's a huge challenge to take what's often a 60 to 90 minute speech or talk and to cut it down to 15 to 18. So my goal was to be able to share my intro story. There are essentially 5 parts to the speech, and if people want to break it down, they can do this and watch it back. I wanted to build connection with my intro story, where I talk about being the shy, unsporty kid, and I do that on purpose to show vulnerability and connection and also a bit of humour. I then led into my story about our home, my home office, being completely flooded, me and my husband being up on the roof with the cat in the cat cage, being rescued on the front of a tractor, and then dealing with the aftermath of having nowhere to live, all the decisions to make, hundreds of balls to juggle, and some of them felt like boulders, as I shared. And then I just wanted to flip it over to the audience to share what are 3 ways that you can remain resilient regardless of what storms come your way. So I talked about an attitude of gratitude, which is one of the most powerful mindset practices we can adopt. Talked about snacking on exercise, which is what I did my TED talk about, around how, you know, even when we're busy, we still find time to brush our teeth. So what if you could take 4 little minutes every day, not just look after that small part of your body, but to look after your entire body and snack on exercise. And the 3rd thing I talked about was how to be more present, because a lot of the stress and pressure that we feel is in our own heads when we're either caught up in the past or the future. So I just invited people to reflect on how wonderful and how important it is to be fully present and how that, again, goes on and creates a positive ripple in people's lives.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but the one question I wanted to ask, I know when you were talking about not just surviving, but thriving, if I remember correctly, you had 32 principles in, was it five different categories?
Yes, five live well principles. And so they are to uplift your thoughts, nourish your body, invigorate your life, strengthen and restore. And underpinning those is a whole range of different things around sleep and gratitude and snacking on exercise and resilience. So yeah, there are 32 pillars that I call them that underpin that holistic approach to being your best self.
Now, my first question is more of a preparation process. I know quite often it's the same thing with speaking, the same thing with writing. It's easier to write long. It's harder to write short. You had 32 principles. How were you able to pick three?
I knew picking three was critical. So I started with mindset, because if I had to pick one, as I shared in the 100-year celebration, the online 20-hour event that we held earlier this year, I just shared one, which was gratitude. If you can focus on what you're grateful for, it is life-changing. I really wanted to do something physical, so I picked snack on exercise. And then I knew that I wanted to do something around restoration, balance, recharging. So I was tossing up between talking about the importance of breathing well, which could have been really experiential as well. I kind of briefly looked at whether I talk about sleep and how we can improve sleep, is again one of my favorite topics, but it would have been too detailed to go really deep into that. So I felt that being present was a great option. And I think that those three are very distinct. And yeah, if we could just master those three things, or even one of them, they really are life-changing. I've seen that with so many clients.
What I found really powerful was the fact that, and again, we're going to get into the details a little bit more, you picked three items. We knew that there were many, many more, but yet when I walked away, I felt very fulfilled to the fact that the information you gave me, even though it was only three of the 32, was sufficient to make me feel like there wasn't anything missing from the presentation. You know how sometimes when they'll say, well, there's 10 steps and we'll give you three, and it's like, okay, well, it actually felt extremely complete.
Great. I'm pleased. That's wonderful to hear. And I did want to share that overall framework that I had, because part of becoming an accredited speaker is about showing your expertise. So it's my key model around self-leadership. So I did want to just share that and do it in such a way that people didn't feel like they were missing out. So I'm really pleased to hear that. For people that do want to know more about all the other 32, I actually have on my website, you can freely download a little ebook that I have that's on five keys to building a positive, energized workplace culture, because I work with individuals and with workplaces. So yeah, if anyone's interested, just feel free to head to the website and click on the free stuff page, and you can download an ebook where I guide people through all 32. I wanted to give people enough to take away on the day and feel satisfied, but if people want more, they can do that later on.
No, I really appreciated that. Now, in terms of some of the content, what I loved about, first of all, I loved that you were very transparent. You talked about, and you mentioned this earlier, about being last picked in sports and things like that. One of the questions I do have for you, you had said you're capable of more than you can imagine. And I found really interesting that you talked about going to a gym, looking at all the people with the big weights, but you decided to go hide in the corner and do your little up and down. And you went and you did aerobics, and you said yes to being an instructor. First of all, I was surprised, but I'm curious, what was the catalyst that made you say that yes to that, even though it almost seemed that you were totally a fish out of the water?
It still surprises me, to be honest, Greg, when I think back. You know, I was absolutely the shy, unsporty kid. I was always the last to be picked. I really lacked confidence in myself physically. I think it was partly that all my friends went to join the gym. I went to join the gym. You know, at the time it was $20. For the entire year. So that was pretty amazing. So it was just something everyone did. So I went to university, I followed my friends, and I literally looked into those aerobics classes and I thought to myself, Lauren, you could never do that. I can picture myself thinking that. And I did go and hide down the back. But it was a friend that dragged me along. And sometimes we need those friends that just pull us out of our comfort zone a little bit. So I went to a class. I actually went to a class called Step Aerobics, where you have a step that you have to get up and down off and try to not fall over. It is the most complicated one to do. And I survived it. So I just went a few more times. I think I literally just thought to myself, hey, I could get paid to be up front and not even have to pay a gym membership. No, but seriously, I am rather competitive, and you know, something sparks my interest, I think, oh, I'll give that a go, why not? And I was petrified before getting up the front the first few times I had to present a class. I can remember racing to the bathroom thinking, how am I going to hold this together? But it's been a huge part of my overall journey because it built my confidence to be up in front of a group of people. One thing about me is that I go bright red straight away as soon as I start exercising. No matter how fit or unfit I may be, I just go bright red. And I used to find that really embarrassing, but I just had to get over myself. And I think often we have little things like that. We have things, stories we tell ourselves that hold us back. And actually, that's really at my heart, the biggest message that I want to share with the world, as I shared in my speech as part of the Accredited Speaker Program, is that you are amazing. And you are capable of so much more than you could ever imagine. We all limit ourselves with our mindset. And really, that's my heartfelt message to the world, because there are so many people out there that are struggling, and that perhaps, you know, I could give you a 10-point plan to help you boost your well-being. Perhaps you want to do that. But fundamentally, you need to know that you're amazing, you are precious, you are capable, and you deserve to thrive. You deserve to take time to do the things that will help you thrive. So I'm literally paraphrasing what was part of my speech now, but that's the key message. If anyone is listening in and you just needed to hear that today, then that is my job done. And if you know how amazing you are and what you're actually capable of, wow, you are going to create some amazing positive ripples in the world. And that's what brings me joy.
I love the fact that when you were talking about knowing you're amazing as one of the keys to resilience, you had mentioned a number of these things. And at first I'm thinking, these are affirmations I hear quite often, but yet you went and you explained each and every one of them. So on that note, I'm going to ask, you mentioned that resilience is a skill. Can you sort of explain that concept?
Yeah, I think sometimes we look at other people that we see as being resilient and we think, oh, they're so lucky. Look at that person. They're so resilient. They could just sail through that situation. The thing to understand is that resilience isn't something you get by luck. It's a skill which can be learned. So that is a great thing, you know, knowing that it's a skill that can be learned, just like speaking is a skill, just like appearing confident is a skill. If you can understand how to hold your body, if you can understand how to modulate your voice, if you can understand how to gesture well, you'll come across more confident, you know. And so if you want to be more resilient, there are certain building blocks you need to put in place. And it's things like getting out and moving your body. It's things like focusing on what you are grateful for rather than focusing on the negatives and the news and the doom scrolling. It's things like taking a moment, taking a deep breath, grounding your feet and just being present. So no matter what we're going through, and this was highlighted more than ever over the last year as we've experienced a home being flooded, losing so much, having to deal with just so many challenges. We're out of our home for around 9 months, and we're still actually here. We are almost 2 years on, still completing the final earthworks around our home to actually protect ourselves. What it's shown me, and as I shared in that talk, these Live Well principles, these 32 pillars that I've shared for decades around well-being and resilience, number one, they really do work. And number two, you have to apply them even when you don't feel like it. Actually, especially when you don't feel like it. That's when you've got to get yourself up out of bed and get out for that walk. And know that as you put in place those building blocks, that's going to lead to you being more resilient. And, you know, as they say, this too will pass. Whatever challenges people may be facing right now, I don't know what they are, but I send you love. And I hope that you can take on these keys around resilience and really use them in your life. And just remember, this too shall pass.
That's great. As we start off the new year, here's a great opportunity to, I'll say, wink, wink, the resolutions. Some people set resolutions, and usually by mid-January, they give up. But some people do decide that they are going to persevere. So perhaps as some takeaways for today, could you perhaps maybe just touch upon those three keys? I know you did touch a little bit on them, but perhaps when we talked about the adopting an attitude of gratitude, what's a way that they can do that?
Yeah, wonderful. And yeah, so just on the resolution thing, I see a lot of people making what I would call poor New Year's resolutions. New Year doesn't have to be the time to set yourself goals, but if you are wanting to make the most of this year, be your best self. It needs to start by looking inwards and knowing that you're amazing and you deserve to do that. And then just picking one thing that you want to focus on. So it could be, as you say, it could be gratitude. Now, a lot of people will write in a gratitude journal, and that is absolutely fundamentally proven to work. If you can write down three things you're grateful for each day, science has shown us that if you do that for 21 days, just three short weeks, even 6 months later, you will be happier. You'll be happier then. But even if you stop the practice, even 6 months later, people are happier. The other challenge, though, is that that doesn't work for everyone. So if you're listening and you're going, yeah, I've heard that before, Lauren, everyone's heard about gratitude journaling. If that doesn't work for you, then try things like around the dinner table. Share what's been the highlight of your day. We have a family rule, no one gets down from the table until you've shared your highlight and you've asked someone what was the best thing about your day. And your brain, it doubles your happiness factor because your brain doesn't distinguish between that great thing happening and you reliving it. So you're building optimism amongst yourself, your family, your flatmates.
That's awesome.
The other thing you can do is every single day make a point of saying thank you to someone else. And the fourth one is in the morning, first thing, cast grateful thoughts backwards and forwards. So think as you're having a shower or as you brush your teeth, what's one thing you're grateful for from yesterday? What is one thing you're looking forward to today? And so those are four different practices you can sprinkle throughout your day. You don't have to do all of them every day, but start your day with gratitude, thank someone each day, share a highlight around the dinner table, journal what you're grateful for in the evening. If you can do any of those and make them a daily practice, it will be life-changing.
Excellent. So that's the first key you shared. The second key you shared was snacking on exercise. And I found this one quite novel. I walk every single day, but in terms of doing more physical endurance type workouts, it's one of those things, well, next week, next day, and I never get to it.
Exactly. And you're not alone. You know, you don't need me to tell you exercise is great for you. The challenges people have told me for decades, the biggest reason I don't exercise is I don't have time. And we create this invisible barrier of thinking, I've got to get change, I've got to go somewhere, I've got to do the routine, I've got to finish up, I've got to change and shower. And it ends up taking up so much time out of our busy lives that it just doesn't happen. So my philosophy is to snack on exercise in small bites you can easily fit into your day. Just getting up from your desk, doing as we did together as a group, we did some squat reaches, which is where you raise your arms in a V above your head, which is the human position for joy. And then you reach down into a squat and you keep doing that. Maybe do 10 of those just to break up your day. Perhaps while your coffee is brewing in the morning, do some push-ups on the kitchen counter. Any set of stairs that you see, just briskly walk up the stairs rather than making it your default to push the elevator button. It's these little things that actually add up to make a big difference. So again, that is what I did my TED talk on. So if people just Google Lauren Parsons TED talk or Google snack on exercise, they'll be able to watch the whole, I think it's 17-minute TED talk and understand some of the science behind it. And I hope it inspires you to take away that not enough time barrier and boost your mood, because it's huge, the benefit, not just for your physical well-being, but most of all for your mental well-being.
On the third key, you had talked about being present. And one of the things that I noticed, I had a little epiphany when you had mentioned that. One of the things that you had said is to notice how you feel physically. And when you had said that, it reminded me, I started taking yoga. And so what happens is that the yoga instructor will do things on your right side. So you do your right leg first, and then she'll stop and say, okay, how does that feel? And then she'll do the left leg and she'll say, how does that feel? And now compare the two. And it was interesting because when you had mentioned, notice how you feel physically, for me, it made the connection between body and mind.
Absolutely. The thing fundamentally, our physiology is totally connected to our psychology. What we do with our body totally affects how we feel and vice versa. So this is important to remember, because if you're feeling down and depressed, we tend to round through our shoulders, round through the thoracic spine, lower the chin, lower the gaze, hunch over, and we literally can't breathe diaphragmatically in this position. And we send messages to our brain that we're feeling down. Whereas if you're listening and just do this right now, roll your shoulders up to your ears, roll them down and back, lift your gaze, count the lights on the ceiling or look at the tallest tree if you're out and about, if you're driving, just stay focused. But other than that, lift your gaze and smile. When you shift your posture and you shift your physiology, it instantly changes how you feel. Often we go through a lot of our days just on automation. You know, we don't pay attention to what's actually going on, how we're feeling. something happens, a phone call comes in, we feel stressed, we tense our shoulders, and we don't notice it even happening. So the more moments in the day where you can just check in physically and perhaps release some tension, perhaps just notice how you are feeling, so powerful to help you be more present. You know, when we go through life not being present, it's like going through life in black and white. You know, we want to go through life in full color. Kids are great at this. They're fantastic at noticing small things. You know, look at this ladybug, mum. They're fantastic in the way that they move and breathe and be present. I think we can learn a lot by being a bit more childlike. So rather than getting caught up in your brain, either in the past or the future, worrying about what might happen or reliving past moments, thinking, if only I said this, if only I did that. If you can get yourself present, and again, number one way to do that is to get physically present. Notice how you feel from the top of your head all the way down your shoulders, down your spine, to your hips, all the way down your legs to the soles of your feet. Notice how you feel right in this moment. You will be present, and your precious brain can't be in two places at once. So it helps you to just stop and jump out of all of the ruminating and worrying that we can be in if we're in the past or the future. So in short, be present.
I'm still a student of being present, but I do find that when I am able to be in the moment, it makes a huge difference. And the feeling physically, how do you feel physically? That one really resonates with me.
Yes. And I think just as a disclaimer, I don't think that I'm fully present all the time. I don't know if anyone absolutely is. So don't beat yourself up about that. And that's why I say I think we need to check in at several moments in the day to come back to being present, noticing our breath, noticing our bodies. Again, there's so much science that talks about the importance of this and being mindful, you know, leadership. So critical. So I think we're all on a journey. We're on a journey together, Greg, and that's good.
Well, folks, if you're all fully present right now and listening to what I have to say, I encourage you to take an opportunity to share this episode with your friends and your family and your fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Lauren, if someone wanted to reach out to know more about you or your newer book, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Probably the best place is just to head to laurenparsonswellbeing.com. And there's a whole lot of resources there under free stuff at the top. There are hundreds of articles. I have my podcast, the Thrive TV show as well. And I'm always happy to connect with people on LinkedIn. So just reach out. I'd love to hear your stories. If there's anything I've shared that's touched you, that's helped you, that is my goal. And thank you for listening in, and thank you for helping spread the positive ripple in the world.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And don't forget to check out Stephanie Darling's article, New Accredited Speakers Exemplify Resilience. Two Accomplished Women Persevered Through Previous Doubts. And you'll find that in the January 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. And of course, that includes Lauren Parsons and Maureen Zappella. Once again, Lauren Parsons, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today and sharing your accredited speaker journey and giving us all kinds of advice today. All the best for 2025.
Thank you so much, Greg, and all the best to everyone listening in. You are amazing.
I know.
You are amazing, Greg. Yes, you are.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Before we wrap up, a quick word from our sponsor, Year to Success. Are you ready to transform your life one day at a time? Year to Success offers a full year course combining education, inspiration, and action to help you achieve your personal goals. With daily lessons, inspiring success biographies, and actionable assignments, you'll redefine what success means to you. Visit yeartosuccess.com and start your journey to becoming the best you. That's yeartosuccess.com. Make this year your most successful yet.